Hello there, welcome to the Tech Means Business podcast. This is a series of podcasts that explores that area between business and technology where the two come together and help organisations trade. I speak to figures with products and services to sell or to offer that add to that ability to operate, in this case, globally. So today we're looking at the phenomenon of payments, especially international payments. Now, if you think about marketplace apps, we've all used them, of course, they're places online where multiple suppliers from several different countries will come together and offer their wares for sale. And during an evening of light shopping, for instance, you might put four or five different items in your basket, check out, and pay in your own currency. It's all very easy, and it's pretty simple, really. The customer experience, if you will, is very smooth and really quite pleasant. However, if you think about what happens in the background, you've got three, four, or five payments going off to different suppliers, and those different suppliers are probably in four or five different countries. And so there's a huge level of complexity there. Not only has the payment gateway got to make four or five different foreign exchange transactions, it's also got to send those monies off to those different suppliers using different bank details and different banking systems. And of course, as well, there are tax implications, sales tax, and you're having to fetch foreign exchange rates fairly regularly to keep those up to date. Then you're removing commissions for resellers or wholesalers, and of course the marketplace will be taking its own commission as well. Then, just to add to that complexity, what about refunds or partial refunds? The whole process has to happen partially or in its entirety in reverse. Complicated, kind of makes my head spin just thinking about it. Anyway, today we are talking to a supplier called Payoneer, who supplies this seamless service in the background to multiple marketplaces and for multiple retailers all over the world. I'm joined today by Nagesh Devata from Payoneer and also one of those marketplace operators, Coupang. I'm joined by Gerald Ho, who's head of global marketplace at Coupang. And Coupang, for those of you who haven't heard of the company before, is Korea's biggest marketplace app. So welcome, gentlemen. And guys, we'll start off, as is tradition on the Tech Means Business podcast, with a bit of self-introduction, bit of autobiography, if you like. Nagesh, can we start with you? Could you give us a few words of introduction about yourself?
Sure. First of all, good day, and thanks for the opportunity to have this discussion. So myself, I've been with Payoneer for just under 2 years, and I've had the opportunity to be in fintech and payments over the better part of the last 20 years. Myself, I'm originally a Canadian, and I've been in Singapore and Asia for the last 15 years and have seen just an amazing explosion of the emergence of fintech and digital commerce coming together. And in my role at Payoneer, I have the opportunity to really take charge of the business and grow it and work with our partners to collaborate as they start to go more global and more international.
And Gerald, I'll turn to you now, if I may. Could you tell us perhaps a little bit about Coupang and a few words about yourself too?
Sure. So I am the head of global marketplace here at Coupang. And Coupang is the leading e-commerce platform in Korea, which is one of the world's largest e-commerce markets. I've been with Coupang for over 4 years. I'm actually a Singaporean residing in Korea. I've been here for over 6 years already. Love the place, love the food. I do like my BTS and my Squid Game. So my team connects sellers of all sizes from all over the world with Coupang customers in Korea. We do that by introducing our platform to businesses interested in cross-border trade and onboarding them. We also help our sellers grow their businesses by providing them with support, network, and training that they need to succeed on Coupang. I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Now, as you guys will be able to tell by my dulcet tones, I'm European by birth. I guess I'm a Brit, but I'm certainly a European, I hasten to add. Now, when we trade in Europe, or at least most of Europe, we don't think too much about differences in regulations or tax in general. And we don't think too much about currencies because we use the euro between all these different countries, and I think there are 24, 23, something like that, in Europe at the moment. But things are different in the APAC region. And so for listeners who are not in the Asia Pacific, perhaps you could tell us a bit about some of the complexities in those areas, if you wouldn't mind. Question to Nagesh.
When I think about the APAC region, I think the first word that comes to mind is diversity. And it is very much a diverse region. And you know, what we do share is this commonality, I would say, in terms of geographic proximity to one another, historical, you know, shared sort of interests, and also the idea of trade among, you know, the different countries, and also in terms of people mobility, as you've heard, we're all sort of from different places. We've moved around to different places as well, and I would say, like, when you think about APAC as a region, it is. Sometimes it can sort of default to this idea that it is complex and it is so diverse and it's so different. And that's all true. Each market does have very much sort of a very different stage of development, a different stage of regulation, a different stage of complexity. It varies by culture, it varies by language. And these are sort of the challenges I would highlight when I'm thinking how best to describe APAC to somebody who is not that familiar with APAC. And often I think when people think of APAC, they sort of have their defaults. They historically think of APAC is China, or they might think of India as sort of their default. But APAC's just so much more when you look at what's in the region. And when you're trying to navigate the region, again, I would just call out you know, it represents this tremendous and immense opportunity, whether you're a business in one country and trying to expand and trying to take advantage of, you know, consumers in another market, or it could be to take advantage of sellers in another market, and being able to bring, you know, those choices and those options to customers in your home market. And you know, this is a topic I think I could go on and on. There's so many variations, there's so many different really interesting things, whether it's e-commerce, gaming, social streaming, freelance. There are so many variations in APAC, but that's truly what makes it exciting.
Now, there are some phrases in there like streaming, e-commerce, gaming, diversity, and a lot of talk as well, I'm sure we'll have, about foreign exchange. Now, these aren't adjectives or phrases that we associate necessarily with traditional banking. We think of bankers as a rather conservative with a small C lot. I mean, I know that here in the UK, for instance, a lot of the banking stack still runs on COBOL, which is a programming language from the 1980s. So this is, you know, a traditional bent to these institutions. So I'm thinking that Payoneer, really, as opposed to traditional banking institutions, are going to be drivers of change and digital transformation, because I guess someone has to. I mean, Nagesh, do you see this role of driving digital transformation in the APAC as being Payoneers? Are you guys, you know, behind some of that economic growth and economic agility?
I would say Payoneer has not necessarily moved into this role. I think this is the role we've always played. And that's very much our origins. Our origins are from a view of being able to empower businesses, notably small businesses or sellers or digital content creators, to be able to realize the potential that exists beyond their own borders, and to help overcome the challenges, as you've mentioned, Joe, in terms of the traditional banking structure or infrastructure or environment, and help to overcome some of those challenges and those frictions. The idea of participating in a market on the other side of the world and being able to sell as an entrepreneur your goods or your services, or to provide other types of services, and then to be, you know, efficiently be paid, and not that should not be the barrier that you're thinking about when you're thinking about participating. So when I think about Payoneer, I mean, that's very much sort of our core premise, is to be able to bring those barriers down and to make it as easy as possible for someone to participate as if it was local, but to be able to extend that into a cross-border environment. And I think when I think of traditional banks, I think this is also maybe something unique of APAC.
So we've heard about a broad range of services that Payoneer offers, and similarly digital first institutions. It's the kind of thing on offer. I'm assuming, Gerald, that when you sat down at some stage and brought together a short list of payment partners, you had a role for Coupa, or at least a short list, a roll call, if you like, of possible contenders to be your payment provider. Why did you end up choosing Payoneer back in the day?
So Coupang has a vibrant network of global sellers across the world. And it's really important for us to ensure that they're able to do business seamlessly wherever they are. Now, what we really like about Payoneer was that their global infrastructure makes payments simpler and more efficient for our sellers, allowing them to focus more of their attention really on growing their business and wowing the Coupang customers.
So I'm thinking now about business relationships, and I know it was a bit of a stereotype. I was talking earlier on about older banking institutions with this slower speed or slower cadence, as people say, of working with older or traditional institutions. And contrasting that, we've got companies like Payoneer, very much more dynamic and fleet of foot. Is that something that you guys at Coupa take advantage of? I mean, are you looking to move into new markets to bring in sellers from different geographies inside and outside the APAC, for instance? Is that part of your expansion plan, your plans for the future?
I think that there are some aspects where Payoneer is definitely a lot more flexible and definitely efficient. In Korea, the cross-border payments process is very unique and somewhat cumbersome. And so when we partner with Payoneer, we can pay more sellers out on a daily basis, and we can pay them across different currencies. The payments get to them faster than if we were to use traditional banking remittance routes.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about the way that Payoneer provides access to different markets. For instance, across Europe and the US into China, Japan, maybe. How's Payoneer enabling companies like Coupa to sell into those markets?
The first thing I would highlight is that Payoneer, we're about a 15-year-old company, going back to about 2005. And over that 15 years, we've continually been building our footprint around the world. We have a very robust base of sellers in markets such as China, of course, Korea, Japan, Vietnam, very significant export markets. But with that, there's been, the continued growth of sellers across the world that we've been able to onboard into our platform. So for example, in Europe or North America in the US and increasingly in Latin America. What I would say is they all sort of share the same aspiration, a lot of these sellers. And we use the word sellers, and maybe that's not necessarily just a fair term, right? Like, so in our ecosystem, we have sellers, we have individuals that are entrepreneurs, we have gamers, we have content creators, social streamers, a whole network of I think as you can think of as both physical and digital entrepreneurs. But as they start to see the potential of expansion and growth beyond their home market and what the potential of their home market is and the potential of the globe. And when we talk about the globe, I would say that's when we start to talk about cross-border and opening yourselves up to different opportunities. So if I was a seller and I could suddenly access 200 million customers in a market by participating in another platform, That's a huge opportunity, and that's a tremendous opportunity, I think, that lots of sellers would love to take advantage of. Part of the challenge they don't often take advantage is they just don't know how. And when you look at someone like Coupang, right, like, so that's sort of like a gateway to Korea. It's a massive gateway to Korea. But then I think for a lot of sellers, again, it's just thinking, how do I do that, and moving beyond the comfort of their home market. And this is where I think we as Payoneer can, we come in And from two fronts is the way I would look at it. One is through our network of sellers that we've talked about around the world, and being able to tap into this base and finding sellers that would find it appealing to sell, for example, on Coupang and to serve a Korean consumer. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is often there are many sellers, or what we might term as domestic sellers, that are selling in a market but have never contemplated selling internationally. And you could think about, like, let's just take a market. It could be a seller in Mexico, it could be a seller in Brazil or the US. Largely, they're focused on their domestic market and selling to consumers in those markets. But once you start to overcome and help educate them about the potential and the opportunity, overcoming some of the challenges that, you know, okay, for example, payments can be solved, and that's an area we can help address. You know, thinking about considerations like logistics, you know, the ease of which maybe they can sign up and participate on a platform like Coupang, and then open themselves up through all the tools and trainings they give. That's a whole nother segment of customers and sellers out there that both, you know, ourselves and Coupang see shared value in going after, in terms of opening and unlocking the opportunity for these new businesses to also, you know, go cross-border and get a lot of value out of that.
From what I'm hearing, it strikes me that one of Payoneer's potential USPs, if you like, is this provision of information. I mean, I can certainly see even big operators saying, look, you know, we're interested in looking at the Venezuelan market or Brazil or, the New Zealand market, anywhere really. And actually, people coming to you guys, coming to Payoneer for information, it's a consultative role.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's very much part of it is providing them the tools, providing the education, and of course, providing a platform. So it kind of, you can provide the tools and the education, which is one part. And, you know, making the sellers feel comfortable. And keep in mind, I think for a lot of businesses, sellers, entrepreneurs, it's the concerns around comfort. It's the concerns around addressing their uncertainty. You know, what type of risk are they exposing themselves? Will they get their money back from their sales in an efficient and structured way? So I think these are all sort of the pieces. If you want to call it consultative, I would say, yeah, we can do that. Or, you know, it's education for sure. But also then having a platform or a marketplace to point them towards, I think is the other piece, that it's that combination and being able to point them to not just say, hey, it's Korea, but it's Coupang and Korea, I think is that's the formula, right? Like that's sort of the formula to get these businesses to see the potential and be excited about the opportunity and not to necessarily be overwhelmed by the opportunity. And there's more to gain.
Gerald, do you see yourself getting into these international markets, start seizing some opportunities, different opportunities overseas? What's your focus for the next few years? Are you looking to pull in more sellers for your marketplace or push out to sell into new markets in terms of buyers? Where are you going for the next, let's say, 3 or 4 years?
Yes. So, Coupang Global Marketplace, we've seen tremendous growth since we launched in 2019, with strong interest from sellers all around the world, right? From small, up-and-coming businesses to large, established enterprises. And as more cross-border sellers learn about Coupang, about our impressive customer base, we've seen the total new cross-border seller registrations jump, increasing, you know, like, close to 80% between 2020 and 2021. And in addition, the Coupang seller registrations with Payoneer accounts more than tripled during this period as well. So overall, we're very committed to building the next generation of e-commerce and improving the shopping experience for more customers every day. We want to make sure that we can bring as much selection from all around the world to our Korean customers.
Well, the sands of time are running out on us, unfortunately. Absolutely loads there that I certainly wasn't aware of in terms of international trade and the complexities behind it, or, you know, and what goes on in the back end of marketplaces and the operations of a marketplace itself. So really interesting. I do hope to return to this subject soon with Payoneer and with Coupang. Actually, that'd be absolutely great. But unfortunately, as I say, time is short. We have to move on. We have to finish. So, Nagesh Devata of Payoneer, many thanks for joining us today on the podcast. And also thanks to Gerald Ho, Head of Global Marketplace at Coupang. Many thanks to you too, and many thanks to all our listeners out there. I hope you can all join me next time on the Tech Means Business podcast, where we'll be talking to more interesting people from this fascinating world of business and technology. So to all of you out there, bye for now.